Welcome back, everyone. We are here with the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, host and founder of The Human Array. And today I welcome you back to the Great Connect podcast in our first episode of this rebirth in the Great Connect. And so what I wanted to start with is just an episode that I cannot stop thinking about. And this episode has really branched into so many different conversations for me, but I want to start the conversation by sharing my own personal experience, my own thoughts, and I hope that it sparks something really powerful for you. Okay, so here's the gist. I believe millennials are here to save the world. A little bit of a mic drop moment. I don't know. If you're a millennial, I want you to tell me, what did you feel when you heard those words? Did you hear redemption? Did you hear validation? Did you hear truth? Let me be real. I have been studying generational theory. Strauss and Howe wrote a book in the 90s about this. I did not discover it in the 90s, but I have for my entire life been really intrigued and interested in not just history, but how history unfolds by people learning from other people. That sounds so bizarre, and yet it's been really clarifying for me to understand that actually what I have appreciated and enjoyed about history is not timestamps and milestones and, beginning of this or all these different things you had to memorize in history class. What I actually enjoyed was the stories, because in the stories, what you hear is the influence of others on each other and how that creates momentum, progress, shifts. If you listen to any history story, you'll hear the greats, right? All the people over time that we still talk about today and how they actually were inspired by others before them. And to me, this is the cool part about history, is seeing the chain and the connection for individuals, because it isn't one brilliant mind that comes out of nowhere that lives in a little bubble, doesn't talk to other people, and then changes the world. That's not real. It has never happened and it will never happen, because we as humans are a species that tribes, right? We need tribes. We need people. We need belonging. We reflect off of each other. And that's how we learn and grow. So when you look back at history, you can see that each individual was inspired by somebody else. You hear this, let's just take musicians. Taylor Swift was inspired by listening to the generations of singers before her. Right? They were inspired by people before them. They all get up on stage, and when they accept their awards, they thank the people that influenced them, that supported them. Without that progress, we don't grow. And so history to me is in the stories of, wow, this person created this change because they saw something else that inspired them. Those are the glimmers throughout all of time that have continued to move humanity and human consciousness forward. So when we think about history, we often look backwards and say, well, why would they do that? Well, we have knowledge that's built upon that. And each of us is meant to look back and say, wow, that's really interesting. And I'm inspired by that, but it's creating something new for me. It's opening a new door for me, because I'm inspired. There's no competition. You're not good enough. It's, wow, you sparked something for me. You opened my eyes to something, and now I want to explore further and I want to bring that to the next level. And that's evolution. And consciousness evolution in particular has always been fascinating to me. So I say this about the millennials because in reading about generations and the Strauss-Howe generational theory. I read about this many, many years ago, and it is just stuck in my head of wow, four archetypes repeating over and over. And the transition that happens between each of them and watching those archetypes happen because of the one before just stuck with me in a way that's like, oh, that makes so much sense. That if we're put in this situation, we would naturally create this archetype. If then that archetype exists, then naturally the next archetype would exist. And that's a cyclical pattern. Doesn't mean that it's not a spiral up, right? We still go around the four archetypes, but we go up every single time because it's evolution. It isn't the definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over and over again. We can look back and say, okay, this generation created this for this generation, created this for this generation, created this for this generation, and so on and so forth. And if we look at ourselves that way, we can be grateful for those who came before us because they created this moment for us. And we can empower ourselves by saying we don't have to carry it all. We have to do our role so that the generation following us can take it from there. They're meant to do the next thing. Right? This in my body actually feels like relief because I have a strong urge to change the world. I have. And I think actually most millennials have that strong urge within them too. And that can feel very overwhelming and even daunting. To think about, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? I have to have such impact. I have to reach all these people. I have to do all these things. It's not true. I have to play my role. And what is my role? And the millennial generation, at least in the Strauss-Howe, but we've got multiple episodes teed up for you to explore the millennial generation in many different ways. The millennial generation is the hero of the story. And we all go to the movies all the time. And it's the hero's journey. It's the hero's journey. And is the hero's journey rainbows and butterflies? Absolutely not. And you can actually look at this generational theory and see that we were born in a time where things were pretty good. And then it got hard. And that's very common for the hero's journey, this arc that we have perpetuated in the movies and in TV, this experience that happens. You can look back, look at any of the Marvel movies, any, I mean, it's everywhere. It's literally every single movie, which someday we're going to dig into the movies that shape the millennials because I can't help but think about how the influence ripples through how we act today. So, stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, this hero's journey is not about being easeful. And it has certainly not been easeful for the millennial generation. As an elder millennial, which I'll talk a little bit about in a second, I know that I wasn't at exactly the specific moment that a lot of things happened, but I did have several experiences. 2001, the Twin Towers, I was a sophomore in college. 2008, I was a young professional. And these different moments in time that have given the millennial generation an opportunity to say, what is happening here? I think is what's shaping us up and has prepared us for this very moment in time. Because the hero doesn't go into a flower shop and destroy everything. Instead, the hero goes into a place of disruption and chaos and says, how can we find our way through this to make it a beautiful flower shop, to get it back to this place that we know is possible? And millennials have experienced that. So let's first talk about technology because the millennial generation, especially the elder millennials, which is the oldest of the millennials. I'm right on the edge. I'm like beginning millennial, eldest millennial, if you will. We knew the world before technology. We had to be home when the streetlights went on. We didn't have a cell phone at our disposal. Computers were just starting to exist. We were the Oregon Trail generation, right? Because that didn't even happen until later. We learned computers as computers came of age. So did we. And this unique experience allows us to be a bridge for other generations. If we look back at the generations Gen X, boomers before us, they didn't, the younger Gen Xers that are kind of this Oregon Trail kind of bridges the two, Gen X and Gen Y or millennials, had similar experiences, right? There's not like a line that happens between generations, like, oh, I'm 80, so I don't understand what you experienced born in 81. And there are shifts and changes that happen specifically in certain generations. And so for the elder millennials and millennials in particular, we understood what it was like to play outside, to not have the TV at our disposal, to have a show that would come on that we wanted to watch, to have to sit down and watch it when it happened and sit through commercials in a way that generations now can't even understand. So we had this unique perspective of life before. And when technology came into existence, we used it to connect in person. I had AIM in high school, right? The whole goal of AIM was even one, after curfew, you could still talk with your friends. Two, it was about meeting up. I mean, when I think back to how I used a phone or a computer in late high school, early college, it was all about arranging when you were meeting up with friends or finding friends. It wasn't about staying on the technology. The technology allowed us to connect to each other, to meet up with each other, to do things in person, to coordinate, to plan, to organize. And I think that our generation, because of that experience specifically, and seeing how technology has continued to advance, we're kind of the wisdom keepers of how to use technology to connect humans, not just on technology, but in real life, IRL. I don't know if that's popular anymore. I don't care. I've always loved it. IRL, right? And technology can be amazing because you can hear me right now and I can connect with you in this way. And I can talk to my friend that's currently on the other side of the world. That's not something we could experience. And I recognize the value of that. And I recognize the value of being in person at the same time. And for me, it's not an either or, it's a both and. How do I bring those two things together and recognize that I need a level of balance there? And I think the millennial generation specifically holds wisdom around that. And let's talk about the wisdom that I think the millennial generation lost or was deprived of. I will speak from my own experience. There are exceptions to every rule. And if you look back at evolution of technology, advancements and progress that were made, I think that this is more common for most of us than not. And you can find a million different memes on any social media channel that will share the same thing. I learned how to cook anything out of a box. If it didn't come out of a can or a box or something in the freezer, I didn't really know how to work with it. Very, very, very rarely did I ever experience anything that was fresh. We didn't have a garden. We didn't really do any of that. It was very much TV dinners, and you pop this in the oven in a plastic container, and you want to make cookies, or you want to make brownies, or you want to make blueberry muffins. Here's the box. Only when I started to kind of explore my love of baking for myself did I realize, wait, what's in that box? It's all the ingredients I already have in the cabinet. I don't need, there's nothing special in the box. Actually, there's not so special stuff in that box. But needless to say, I think that the millennial generation, not to anyone's fault, again, back to my point of every generation offers an opportunity to the next generation. I'm an optimist. tune out if you can't hear my extreme optimism on a regular basis. And I find the silver lining, and I want you to find the silver lining because I think it's what actually is driving us forward. The silver lining in this situation is we didn't learn it. And look at what's happening. Maybe you don't see it the same way I do. I can be on any social media channel, listen to anything that's happening. And yes, I have curated a lot of this for myself because this is the world that I want to live in, is learning and growing and supporting each other. But you will hear this generation learning to bake bread. Wait, I can bake bread. Oh, here's how I garden. Oh, I can grow these things myself. Oh, applesauce is just pureeing apples. Who knew? And putting it in a can. I can do that. I realized for many, many years, I've had this extreme fascination with what you could call holistic health. I think it's just the way we're supposed to live, truly, in this world of, hey, I can use baking soda for like almost anything. It is such a powerful tool. Why didn't I know this? Wait, I have to clean the dishwasher to clean my dishes? The cleaning of things that clean drives me absolutely bananas. It's just a personal pet peeve of mine and also makes me question, wait, is this actually easier? Or what does it help me do? And so all that wisdom that I think if you were fortunate enough to have grandparents who baked and I actually and cooked, I did have some of that. I just didn't get that one-to-one experience where it influenced my life. And honestly, I'm grateful for it because it brings me to this moment right here. You didn't really learn any of the wisdom of how to know what browned meat looks like, or what does boiling water look like? I'll never forget. My mom talks about this all the time, and I can hear it in a more positive way these days than I used to. But she remembers a story of me calling her in college and saying, "What? When do I? How do I know that the water is boiling?" And yes, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so this is like a splitting hairs sort of conversation. But what I was trying to articulate is what is a rolling boil? Like, do I need to get it to this big, boisterous, rolling boil in order for it to technically be boiling and hot enough? Or when it starts to do the little bubbles on top, is that hot enough? And what she heard was, I don't know what boiling water is. And she's not wrong, right? And why didn't I learn that? How did I not know? I had made noodles before many times in my life, but I think in certain situations, I was trying to make sure that I did it well, I did it right, and I didn't really understand the difference between that low boil or that rolling boil. And so those are the things that I think back on my life and the many different junctures in which those things have happened, where it very clearly presents to me that I think the millennial generation, based on, ooh, how easeful, how easy it is for us to give you a box rather than you have to have all these ingredients, or here's a can of this, or here it's frozen and ready, you just have to pop it in the microwave, or the oven. I can't even believe. I mean, one of my favorite things was those TV dinners that had the brownie in the middle. Oh my God, we put that plastic in the oven. In the oven. Okay. I'm still alive. And all those little pieces of wisdom of how to discern the difference, how to know when something has matured in taste and flavor and look and smell and taste, our whole sensory system that we've used for millennia to feed ourselves, to nourish ourselves, to heal ourselves. I honestly feel completely disconnected from that. And for the last 10 to 15 years, since I met my husband, because he's much more connected to this than I am, I've been learning to bring that back for myself, not to reach for the easeful jar of whatever, cleaning solution, et cetera, but to really understand what I'm trying to accomplish and what are the tools and resources that I have at my disposal. Do I really need to do that? Or can I throw some vinegar in it and it will be just great? And this to me is so empowering. It's stepping out of ease and into empowerment because now I feel like I have a whole new tool chest or toolbox of resources at my disposal. It honestly feels so incredibly abundant to step into this mindset that I can learn and understand how to use plants and materials and substances that already exist in nature to solve my problems. I just have these moments of like, how did I not learn these things? How did I make it 40 plus years without understanding all of these things? And actually, I've been learning this since I was in my 20s, but now getting to this point as a parent to say, wait a minute. And I hear it in my husband too, because while he very much is more connected to the earth and understanding, and these things come a little bit more naturally for him. I really believe that he experienced the same. And one of the things he said to my kids is, you are not going to leave this house without knowing how to cook meals for yourself. And those are the things that come back to me as like, wait, that's my job as a parent. Not to keep you alive, not to make you smart, not to send you to school, not to get you to college, not to pay for all these academic programs or things or sports or whatever it is. It's to teach you how to be a human. This is earth school. We got to learn our emotions. We got to learn how to take care of ourselves. We need to learn how to build and cultivate friendships and when to let them go. We need to learn how to feed and nourish our bodies. And this, I think, is the hero's journey of the millennial generation. If we hadn't had this constriction, all this ease, we wouldn't step into this empowerment. And I think we're here to re-empower humanity, to remind ourselves we are powerful, we are capable, we are knowledgeable. And why did that get stripped away from us? And this is a piece that I really want to explore in so many different conversations. Because, one, I believe there's a mindset shift, and we're going to spend some time with my good friend, Amanda Johnson, talking about the millennial mindset and different places and pieces where this comes up for us. And then we're going to speak with my friend Chelsea Jewell, who's an astrologer. We're going to talk about the astrology of the millennial generation and why it's in the stars and in the planets as to why we were born into this time and why it comes so naturally for us. The energy pattern is there. And I have a couple of others that we're thinking about right now that we want to bring to you. But I would love to hear, what questions do you have? What else can we talk about that digs into the millennials and why this generation in particular is here to create this huge shift? We're even going to do some side-by-side baking. I'm going to show you how poor I am at so many of these things that feel connected to just being human, and yet I fail miserably at them. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to enjoy this tremendously because I believe if we as a generation, at least in North America, can link arms and say, hey, this binds us. This is a bond that we have as a generation, and we want to create a change in that. I think we can. I know we can. I believe we can. Actually, I know we can. That inner knowing is what I see in the world. I see millennials stepping up to the plate and saying, no longer am I going to be called all these various things that were said about this generation as we went through the years. Instead, we ask questions. Why? We dig deeper. I have to go to work 9 to 5. Why, if I'm done with my work at 3, do I have to stay till 5? Why do I have to walk to go to the office when it's an hour away from me, when I have this computer where I can do all my work there? All these questions are coming up, and this is the generation to ask the questions and start to expose that there isn't a why, or perhaps that why is not connected to a value system that we feel aligned to. And I think our Gen Z friends are working towards the next evolution of that in their own way, and the alphas beyond that. So go on this ride with the Great Connect podcast, as well as digging into the millennial generation. We've got lots of different content coming up for you around overall well-being and why millennials in particular are really feeling this push and pull towards well-being. Because I climbed the corporate ladder, I got to the family, the kids, the husband, the dream job I'd always wanted, and I was a robot. I was the most miserable I have ever been in my entire life. I have been fed that this is when I will be happy, when I reach this point, and I got there. I tasted it, and it was horrifying. It was miserable, and I had to completely break away from it. I stopped, I walked away with the support of my husband, with the support of my kids. My son said to me, "Mommy, why don't you smile?" It took him saying that twice to me, twice to break me out of a haze and a fog that I needed desperately to break out of. My body was falling apart. It was screaming at me to get out of this experience. And so, many years later, I want to bring this empowerment back to all of us. That we may have been told that this is how it works, but since the day we were born as millennials, we have been asking why. And now we all awaken to a world in which we are reaching the stages that we've been told this is why. And here we are, and it isn't true. It isn't happening. That happiness that you put off in the future. It isn't there. It's in our everyday well-being. And we, as a generation, are here to bring back well-being, to ask the questions, why do I have to wait? Why is well-being not an everyday experience? Why is it so hard? Why am I stripped of my power? Why do I have to listen to this person? What authority does that person have over me and my body? Why? Why don't I have a voice? Why is my voice not valid? How can I step more into what I want and discern that for myself? And man, when I think about this generation, I just know we're already doing it. And I want us to link arms so we can make it bigger, better, because we care about well-being, not just bigger and better, because. Because well-being is something we should all experience every single day, no matter what version it looks like for you. Well-being is being well. You are a being. How are you being well? Okay. So many things. I'm trying so hard not to jump into all the things about millennials that I really want to, but I really want to go into each of the conversations in a very specific way. And so we're going to break this big ass topic apart, and I can't wait to explore it with you. So let's do this, millennials. We got this. And until next time, be well.